our CDRA meeting tonight, February 13th, 2024, 6 p.m. regular meeting. We'll start off with a roll call. Here. 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 Did you want to make mention to try and speak in the mics? Because you had a hard time getting the recording. So we're trying a little bit different, but if you could speak into the mics. Next is approval of our minutes, January 9th, 2024, regular CDRA meeting held at 6 p.m.
I've already read it and everything, so I'm ready.
Make the motion then.
I don't know if these guys have read it or not.
I've read it.
Got it read. I'll make a motion we approve the minutes for our CDRA meeting held on December the 12th at 6 p.m.
Got to change the date. It's January 9th.
January the 9th?
Yes.
The one you got here is December the 12th.
That was the minutes that was read during that meeting.
Well, then January the 9th.
I'll second that.
All right. Have the motion by Vol, seconded by Cade, to approve the minutes of the January 9th, 2024 regular CDRA meeting held at 6 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Next is approval of claims. Invoice register dated 1-6-2024 to 2-8-24 in the amount of $88,498.43.
So, Mike, I got to still claim the new card, right?
Yeah.
Who owns the trains out there? Because it's like that.
We have the two grants, one for $27,000 and one for $25,000. The Heritage area that were passed in through. And the engine was donated to the RDA. We own the engine. And the engine was donated to us by Heber Valley Railway. And I have to admit, with the cranes to pick it up and bring it down here, the total to do that was $49,978, but we had $52,000 in grants, and so Dave got a surplus of $2,030.
Okay.
But the RDA owns the engine.
Okay. And yeah, that was my question, is the, yeah, moving the engine looked kind of expensive.
I'll make a motion we approve invoice register 1-6-2024 to 2-8-2024 in the amount of $33,898.43.
I'll second it. OK, Okay, I have a motion by Paul, second by Lynn, to approve invoice register dated 1/6/2024 to 2/8/2024, in the amount of $33,898.43. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, next is our annual report from Mormon Pioneer Heritage Highway.
Well, once again, Houston part of this, I think everybody's got one of these except you. Our website is mormonpioneerheritage.org. The annual report is posted on there. We're required to do that because Mount Pleasant CDRE is the chair entity for the Mormon Heritage Area, and the management board is the advisory board. Now, this is a full report that is on the website. I know you guys are really busy. Maybe you might have time to take a look at that. So I'm just going to hand out, maybe you can just throw these away. If you want to, obviously, we don't like paper. But anyway, here's the deal. Here's two things to pay attention to. Here we go. I've taken the highlights from that lengthy report. It's also on our website. Got in front of you. No, yes, I've got to have one of these. This is the trails part and the education part. The other part, community enhancement. Now, what you want to make on the first page, the important thing is the total amount of projects we have are $2,883,537, and then that shows where the matches came from, and then it shows down under grants, it shows that we received $500,000 from the National Park Service, and we leveraged that with 26 projects. You turn the next page and take a look at number 2F. 2F shows the projects that were done in fiscal year 23. And then that second sheet I have, those are all community enhancement projects, and this sheet pertains to trails and education. So you want to put that 2F is on that. Then the important one is 2G. You have to show a cumulative. So 2G shows the cumulative. We've done 112 projects. And so again, it's on the website, but that's just kind of a recap. You can just toss it away or whatever, but it kind of summarizes the projects that we've been involved with. And that total amounts. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. I know you got a lot on your city council agenda that you've got to concentrate on. So. But this is a requirement of the National Park Service. Totally, we've done about $64 million. We've taken about, since we were designated, we've taken a little less than $5 million. It's actually $5.6 million in National Park Service money, limited to $60 million. So it's been a pretty good entity.
Wow.
And we're the only heritage area named after a people.
Well, this Utah heritage, you're pretty widespread. I didn't realize that, I don't think.
Yeah. All of you have one of these, don't you? The heritage area, when we're convinced and got the bill passed, Congress decided that the best example of how the Mormon colonized the West can be found along Highway 89 from Fairview to Kanab and the Boulder River, Highways 12 and 24. That's a 400-mile corridor. The counties were Santee, Sevier, Paiute, Wayne, Garfield, and Kane.
Where's your mining museum?
The mining museum is down in Marysville. Again, on our website, we've also done over 60 public companies and documents. We filled along the Mormon Trail, we filled in Wales, we filled in England, and all those shows are embedded on our website. And we got Trevor now being trained how to
fill. Gosh, I never realized we were involved in that.
Yeah,
I had no clue.
All of southern Utah, basically.
Yeah. Any other questions? We submit the annual report to the National Park Service, the Alliance of National Heritage, and the and Denver, and then to our board member. We have board members in each of those six counties. The whole thing started in Mount Pleasant, and that's why we are down as the chair.
Okay.
Because you've done such a good job with it.
Pardon me?
And because you've done such a good job.
Oh, we got a good team.
Driving factor.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, the way it really works, though, is that James Nelson represented us at a Denver meeting. We went over there last year, and I laughed with Dave Austin about this. He handed out our annual report, and they said, geez, you guys have a lot of projects since you're designated. He said, no, that's just this year. So he decided to visit some of the other heritage areas to see how we look. And we've done, this is not, I thought, I used to talk to Bob Bennett about, Senator Bennett about this. We built this. It took a lot of work to get this passed through Congress. It passed in the House. Interesting, because Cameron was even, the representative wasn't even in Utah. But the bill passed in Congress on July the 24th, 2006. And then President Bush signed into law on October the 12th, 2006. And we had to submit a management plan to the Secretary of the Interior. And that was approved on March 2nd, 2010. And we started doing all these projects.
Could
the way it works is because we have five heritage districts, six counties, and it's a grassroots organization. We don't have any W-2 employees or anything like that. It's a grassroots organization, and it works because our local members are like, we're the headquarters, then we have the district or the stakes, and then the wards are down at the grassroots level, and they generate these projects. That's how we make it work.
Could you talk a little bit about the trail to Spring City? Where are we at?
Yeah. The money's all in place, and the UDOT working on that, and $1,312,000 from UDOT, $500,000 from the Utah Outdoor Recreation Agency, and $250,000 from state parks, and $90,000 from the Heritage. That money's all in place.
Where are we?
The engineers are getting with UDOT. They've had a scoping meeting. They're going to start construction this spring.
Okay, next our park project update.
Okay, now, Justin couldn't be here, and we thought Heidi couldn't make it. Now, I just want to make sure, Mr. Chairman, did they send you this latest stuff to look at on tables?
Mm-hmm.
So you've already got this then. I'm just going to pass this along. You need paper copies. You can kind of review that. And then here's the feedback and stuff on the tables, and that's just the information. Funny, Evan, well, you might want to share that with them, so I don't do all the talking if it's you've been doing on it. Those are email communications.
Have you guys seen the pictures?
I have not.
Have you seen the pictures? That's the best picture to show you.
Okay.
What are they made out of?
Aluminum.
The specs should be made separately.
They talked about staying with the aluminum colored. But you can get them in different colors. Last I knew, anyway, is aluminum. 8-foot aluminum top benches.
How many of them were putting out there?
20.
And then also they've been gathering specs on the restroom. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah, I haven't seen the specs on the restroom.
I just printed these out, and there's all the specs on the restroom. It's under consent. Of course, you make the final decisions. Your committee is working through this, and then once the decisions are made, those are maybe, if you want me to, if you guys would like to receive them, I can go ahead and tomorrow and email them to you if you'd like to get them.
That's probably the easiest. Yeah. Send them in an email.
I just need that so you have a paper copy. I'll email all of them to you. I'll email the specs on the restrooms and all the table stuff to the board.
Okay.
You already got it.
Okay. Yeah, because I haven't seen the specs on it. So. Okay. Next, Track 89 land proposal.
Okay. Here's the deal. You've got, as you know, down there, you've got the depot. You've got 1.3 acres around the depot there. Track 89 paid appraised value. They paid $150,000 for that, and then they also planted $25,000 toward the, to build the soccer field before they put the extended that fence out there. Then what they did, then they paid $25,000, which you got the appraisal for that quarter acre where the sand pitch statue stands. And they own that, and there's, they're working on the formal easement. We're responsible for all the upkeep, maintenance, no charge. But it is, the statue is owned by the city through the RDA, and some of the property. What they're proposing is the following. The committee, frankly, they have purchased a train, a little train.
That's the one that's down in the shed?
That's being stored at the arena. Now, from the bottom of the sheet, you will see the train dimension. The train is 6 feet high, so you got an engine with a steeple and a whistle. It looks like a real fish. There's a coal car. And then behind that, there are four passenger cars where the kids can ride. The train is 6 feet high and 4 feet wide. The trail that will go around it, that goes around the park, is 10 feet. So it's 6 feet high, 4 feet wide, and it's 43 feet long. What they have proposed, they've got to store it somewhere. What they're proposing...
So are they planning on running this around our non-motorized trail?
They are.
We can't do that.
Yeah, we contacted UDOT on it because like a lawnmower engine, and it's not like ATVs.
I don't think we could enforce it then. If we let one thing on there with a motor, we can enforce it to non-motorized, because that's the way it is now, and all our signs say that.
It does, but we got to they're doing the same thing. In fact, the trail down Big Rock Candy Mountain, the tribal council in Sevier County is going to actually put tracks out and put a real train. But they're going to clear it on it that we can do it because it's a kiddie train. It's not for adults. It's kiddie. Little kids ride in the train, like it's 43 feet long. Now, the next part, you might not want to do. What they're going to do, they put this somewhere else. They want to propose the possibility that the down, if you look at this top here, there's a photograph, you'll see the CCC building down there. So as you come around the turn, they're proposing to make things interesting. You go through a tunnel. Now you'll notice that the tunnel that the concept had converted to a tunnel is 10 feet by 100 feet and 20 feet wide. And the train, they go through there. What they're proposing they would do with this is that they would, when the train's not in operation, they drop a gate and store the train in there. But they would also, because it's 20 feet wide, what they would do is they would have events, like, for example, they would, because you've got 20 feet inside there, you see down here the train coming through there, the schematic they provided. What they would do, they would have, like, Santa Claus, they have Santa Claus in there, they do Easter eggs, and so they would actually use the tunnel when the train goes through for the kids to be handed Easter egg baskets, presents, they do a Christmas run and stuff like that. And then they would also, because you see you've got a 20-foot width and the train is 40 feet wide. So there'd be interactive stuff in there, and then there would be, when the train's not in operation, it'd be stored and gate come down. If you prefer not to have this on that property down there, then they're going to work with store to somebody to put it over outside of the property.
And my concern would be the track. It's going to set over the track, the walking track.
No, the way it would sit here would be, okay, if you're coming around the trail and you're moving down there, see this photo, you'll see.
Okay, it's off to the side of the wall.
Yeah, it's off the side. You take off, you go through the tunnel would come out just east of the CCC camp, then we get back on the main track. Now, like that question's come up, we've talked to Cindy, and they don't think there'll be a problem at all. But right now, the use is kids, spot and bikes and so forth, and... there will be put up there that it is used by a kiddie train, but you still can't have ATVs and bigger equipment on that goes faster. This is a small kiddie train, is what it is.
So could a kid have a go-kart on it?
That'd be the same thing.
I know, that's what I'm...
My electric bike really shouldn't be on there, but if you allow something like that, then you can't stop electric bike, you can't stop a lot of things.
Yeah.
they don't stop, them electric bikes are flying around out there already.
They're pedal assist, mine's 100% electric.
Oh, these are on?
Yeah. Yeah. So they're not allowed on the trails where if you have a pedal assist one, you can't.
Actually, Heidi and them were working on this, and they thought it'd be a little traction for the kids to have, and so contacted DOT, it says, okay, because it's a kiddie train, it's just, we don't want bigger things, like, bigger thought we've had, people even drive cars on it, and but this would be a waiver for a kiddie train.
And this is to go all the way around the park, that running track, is that what?
The path that goes around the park, 10 feet wide, is a little less than a mile, about 0.8 miles. So the train would go around the track, and then the train would also go through that tunnel, they'd have events and stuff in there, and when it's not used, that's where they store the train. If you don't want to do it there, then I think they're looking to lease some property to store it or something. So they just put this as an idea, if it might be interesting to have the kids go through the tunnel, and I can also construct it. That's going to be your problem.
I'm very concerned with it. I don't think it should be on the trail, first of all, because then I don't know how you'd enforce the trail.
Well, it's not like you've addressed that now.
Yes, already addressed that, so.
They've addressed it. They think the kids aboard the train where the water tower is, and it would be policed, and there would be somebody. Probably 18-year-old or somebody could train. We just like it's going real slow. Just a little train with kids in a car, four cars, and it just slowly goes around the track.
So who would be liable if a kid fell out of this train?
The track 89. I want to talk to Austin about that. Track 89.
Has he talked to you, Dave?
Maybe high office, so I don't see insurance. Likely to be the
Now, what we talked about is track 89 would be responsible for the insurance, but because it's on our property, I'm sure I told Dave the other day, I told you'd have to buy you the certificate of insurance, and then you'd have to advise the trust of what's happening. They would be responsible for the insurance and the premiums on it. Just like they're responsible for the liability insurance in the depot and the insurance for the water tower is and the boxcars, they have a blanket policy to cover all. Anyway, you don't have to make a decision tonight. That's just an information item. It's a discussion action to pass on. And just think it over and expect to give off the top of his head. And then get back to me at the end and we'll go from there.
I've seen it before. I mean, they've got them around campgrounds and stuff up in Bear Lake and places, these little trains.
Okay, exactly.
They use them all over. I mean, I've seen them all over.
Get back to us.
So, Nate, could you enforce another motorized vehicle in there if you allow something like that?
Because this is a kiddie train. They felt like you
would. Well, you can't just do that off of, you can't just do that off of discretion. So I would assume you'd have to have something in writing.
In writing. Section,
right? Yeah. But, I mean, I guess that goes off.
What's the
what your ordinance says? Do you have an ordinance? What's that?
Because we've got the signs out there that says no motorized vehicles allowed on the trail.
If they want to keep that, what they would do, they'd get a memo back to you that the waiver would be a waiver to that only pertaining to the kiddie train. They call it the kiddie train. Anyway, this is...
That would only be, what, like 4th of July, the 24th?
Well, they're gonna see about... celebrations, the good winter summer months, city down at the Casa Gipo, Kaiser Monitors, so they think would be key times, like maybe a couple hours in the afternoon during the summer, stuff like that.
Another concern I have with that being built there, I can see lots of kids flying over that with their bikes, as much as they've been on the gravel bed right now.
Well, anyway, it's for your consideration. Take a look at it and...
For city liabilities, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, they're going to burn it up on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a pretty sweet jump.
It would, wouldn't it?
Pardon me?
So like the one, the other thing that we talked about, the one private property? Well, they looked at it all in public, like there's one of the businesses taking care of these parks. Most of these are in parks that this, the communities have, in California, places like that. This is a little key.
Is the park owned the train though, or is it?
Pardon me?
Is it the park owned the train, or is the train privately owned train?
No, the train is owned by, and paid for and owned by Tracking. But you don't like to see.
No, I mean, in these other places that you've seen them, is the train owned by?
Some of them have privately owned, like a concessionaire, stuff like that. Some of them, the one that used to have, I don't know what's up there anymore, I don't think it is. The one that was owned by the nonprofit corporation was running the, this is the state.
I think that'd be neat to have a train.
I think kids enjoy it.
We can get by that, I just don't know about having a building out there.
I think it'd be neat to have it though. I mean, it'd be kind of unique, and I can see pros and cons both ways.
That's a pretty good sized building.
I don't think we should put the building there, for sure. Because you can see that would be a jump for the kids on their pedal bikes.
I'll take you to pedal bike up there.
Yeah, and if we have other plans for that property, you know.
Yeah, I just don't think that's smart to put the building there. So, anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to work and try to get the train taken care of, so then you go around there.
By the way, just protect your license, and that's what you'd like to do, and then make another option before they can deal with it.
Store it somewhere else.
The equestrian center update.
Jack reported this morning to the executive committee of Main Street Program, and there's nothing new. That Paul, he's going to get with you, Paul, and if you have something you'd like to report, we had a special RDA meeting focusing just on this. If you have anything to report, otherwise, this will be off the agenda.
No, I wasn't at that meeting yet, so I don't know what to.
He plans on, now you're back, he wanted to give you a call and get together through the problem tomorrow next year.
Yeah. I'll get with him tomorrow.
Okay. Anything else, Mont?
Yeah, the streetscape project. We'd like to start off on.
Oops, I skipped that. Sorry.
We've got a few minutes here. I'd like to have Jared just bring us up to date on what he's doing on pruning, tree movement. We committed up to $10,000 for pruning and tree movement, getting ready for Tree USA, looking down the trees. You want to report on that?
Yeah, sure. Well, we kind of finished identifying which trees we're going to keep, which trees we're going to take out. We decided we're going to keep about 39, 40 of them. We're going to pull out about 15 at this time, so we're not, you know, ripping the band-aid off. The ones we're keeping, we're pruning up. The ones we're going to take, we're going to cut down. That's kind of the first phase of the project, is pruning and tree removal. Once we get that done, you know, we go on to phase two, which is the irrigation side of things. As that money comes, and we'll roll for it.
Okay, Joyce, we've got to give a quick report on a meeting with Chris Hall, and then we'd like to set up a special meeting just to address this. Go ahead.
Steve, so last Tuesday, we were able to get Chris Hall, who is the UDOT regional planner for our district, to come down. He drove down from St. George, which was very gracious of him to do. And we spent time not only looking at things we can do on the historic Main Street relative to traffic calming and making it a safer pedestrian facility, as well as everything up and down State Street within that district. The one of the bigger conversations we had, which was very, very helpful, was we also went down to the area between the park, the depot, and Terrell's. And with the new Spring Street Trail, the Spring City Trail coming in, how we could facilitate possibly having safer pedestrian access between the south side of 89 and the north side of 89 in the Terrells area. Part of, you know, a lot of it is that we have a lot of citizens that use that area, but we also have the Wasatch kids that use it, the high school kids that use it. A lot of people are crossing in that area, and it's quite dangerous. So we were able to have a conversation. Since we had him here, we took advantage of that and had a conversation with him about how that might work.
Good. Did he Did you talk to sidewalks along the road or just the crossover?
Sidewalks, we talked to crosswalks, we, you know, we just opened up the conversation. That's basically what we did. And UDOT is in a place these days where they are looking, they've shifted from accommodating traffic to making things more pedestrian safe. And that's one of the things that we're really looking at in the historic downtown area, because it is a quite wide street and people go through quite fast. And there's a lot of people that want to cross that road as pedestrians and don't feel safe doing so. And historically, their strategy was if you create a space for pedestrians to cross, then they feel too safe. And then they're not safe because they feel like they have a place to cross the road and be safe.
They just not have to go up over it.
Right, right. And now where they're at, which is what's becoming more of a trend, and I've worked on this in several cities, where instead of taking it someplace, especially like a historic Main Street, where your entire purpose is to create a wonderful space for people to be and to create this commercial environment, and to make it pedestrian safe and even bike safe, and with all of the activity around creating bike trails and pedestrian trails, what we really want to do with those just few blocks in the historic downtown is make it much more pedestrian safe, much more bicycle safe, and bring people in to that historic downtown so we can enhance the commercial zone and create a more positive commercial environment in that space. So that looks something like bump outs. You know, the tree project is a first phase of that. There are a number of studies that show having trees in more pedestrian safe space in downtowns creates more commercial activity. And so that looks like making the tree project create an environment where there are very healthy trees, and then also reducing speed limit, providing bump outs, providing bike lanes, and just slowing traffic down. And as a civil engineer, one of the things that has always driven me crazy is we put out 5 lanes of pavement and then tell people to go 25 miles an hour. And you're creating a zone where it entices you to drive very fast. However, what we really want is for people to slow down and be safer. So I think from my engineering perspective, that 4 or 5 blocks that we have on the historic Main Street to slow traffic down, it's not going to take people a whole lot longer to get where they're going. And it will enhance our historic downtown dramatically. And I believe the same thing, even though it's a different environment out between the park and Terrell's, we need to do the same kinds of things out there where we're creating a more pedestrian safe space. If we're creating more bike trails, we need a more bike safe space. And UDOT is all over it. They are very much in the mindset these days of coming up with projects that are more pedestrian friendly.
Did you bring up putting the stoplight out there at Terrell's?
That's one of the options. It was just an initial conversation. It was just a, hey, UDOT, this is a location of concern for us, and it's new on their radar. So it'll take some time.
Stoplight or go over the top of it. So.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's difficult out there. So we just want you to know that UDOT is on board with working with us. They're very, very interested in anything that's pedestrian friendly in any part of town that involves a UDOT highway. Is that good? Anything? Any questions? Anything?
Sounds good. We've needed it. We really have.
Anything you want us to get more feedback on, or just keep pushing forward and figure out?
I think you've been doing good. I think you just keep pushing forward. I mean,
is there any money for sidewalks along there. The other night I seen a family, a mother and a father with three little ones right on the edge of the highway, walking on the edge of that highway. Has your DOT got any money for...
Yeah, we have not gotten to the point where we can investigate all that grant money yet. However, Chris is providing us with information about grant money available for safe routes. The safe routes
that we've tried to get money for before.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing is they won't let you stay along the highway.
Yeah.
It has to be a sidewalk away from a highway, and that's our so we get thrown out right there because we've applied a couple of times to put a sidewalk along there. It's like we get thrown out because it's along the highway.
Policies are changing a bit just because they're becoming more aware of how many people are.
That's
by. Foot and by bike.
Yeah, that's what blows me away. You know, it's a safe highway grant, but yet they won't let you put a sidewalk by a highway. It has to be off the highway.
They're very willing to work with us on all of those.
So, I know we've just been turned down. We've applied twice, I want to say.
And there are a lot of federal grants that are newer with the new highway administration. So, there are opportunities.
And we haven't
to have get the okay with you with the UDOT to put sidewalks on both sides of the road. It's like trail.
You would.
Would they have to widen their boundary like out? Like the sidewalk that's there down out by the motel, it's right on the curve of the road.
Yeah, I
just no room.
I don't know what their policy is. You notice how this state road wiped out that fence this last snowstorm because of pushing the snow.
And that's what I'm wondering, if they'd have to acquisition a little more property, right-of-way property.
I think there's probably enough landowners. I'm just speaking from the hospital side because there's a big right-of-way right there along the hospital property line for all the utilities. And I think if some of these businesses were approached, they might let that go on their property because they can't do nothing because it's a right-of-way anyway.
Yeah, that other side's the side that I'm concerned about.
The other side is bad, but if we could keep them, again, if we had some way to cross over once they got to Terrace to go across, then we've solved the problem with this, being able to try and tie into our trail and everything. But
we broached the question about ways to accommodate this, and they haven't progressed far enough in this concept that they've developed any kind of standards or opportunities, so we would be helping them, and they would be helping us come up with the ways to do it well.
Yeah.
There's something else we need to address there, lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting along that road out there. After the motel, there's nothing all the way from the motel to Carroll's.
They're on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
We've got big 40-footers, but I would like to continue our lighting.
On the north side, yeah.
On both sides, everywhere.
Yeah, so that would help. Like for traffic, for people seeing these people walking the other night, I didn't see them until I was on them.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary.
And all of this, doing something in the Main Street, State Street area, doing something at the Terrells area, would also help with pedestrian safety all the way between those two, where kids are trying to cross to go to Maverick and the school crossing is and all of those kind of things. So it's a little bit of new ground for UDOT, and the good news is they're very excited about and willing to work with us on this.
Sounds great.
Good. Sorry I skipped over you, Joyce. too many on the agenda there. Anything else, Mont? Okay.
You're good. I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second it. Cade seconded it. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, well, honey, take a 5-minute break or a couple minute break. Potty break. Okay, just go back to being.
Oh, okay.